response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
It's working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's Post Game Podcast.
Welcome to the Post Game Podcast. No Jerry today. He had to rush out of here at some sort of appointment. So Rami joins me today. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, Al. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. I think I have a good question for you today. I was thinking about this when Jerry told me that that he couldn't do the podcast. He told me that yesterday or the other day. And I said, oh, okay, let me think up a good question for Rami. So here's what I thought we would do.
The smile is scaring me. I don't know what you got cooked up, but it's scaring me.
So we have on the program, we have Boomer, we have Gio, mm-hmm. we have Jerry, and we have me.
Yes.
I thought we would do, so we'll take each individual person in so far your experience. What's been difficult about working with them, and what's been the easiest part of working with them? Let's start with Mr. Boomer Esiason first. What do you think has been the most, or what's the most difficult part of working with Boomer, do you think?
What's the most difficult part?
I don't know if I'm saying that correctly. Like, I don't know if it's a difficult part. Like, what do you...
Like, maybe I didn't expect or something? Like, something like that?
Yeah, like, what's something with Boomer that you'd be like, here's what I... You know, how about this? In dealing with the person.
Yeah.
What are some things you take into account when dealing with Boomer?
So with Boomer in particular, like similar to you, and maybe it doesn't manifest itself out as much over the air, but there are certain ways that he was used to Eddie doing things with him that he just got used to, and then he expected them from me without kind of saying it.
Okay, like
so
what?
So for example,
he
comes in the morning to record a lot of his spots before the show. I didn't know I was supposed to text him in the morning, hey, here's what you have, it's set up for you. You know, I knew I would go in there and set it up like Eddie used to do, but he wanted it laid out in a text by a certain time.
So Eddie used to text him like, hey, you have a Ford commercial.
Yes, correct. You have a Ford,
FanDuel.
And a FanDuel, a 30 and a 60, you know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
And then, yeah, and so I so now if you look at my text with Boomer, it's just me sending those texts and him thumbs up and liking it. Just,
all right, he's giving you the thumbs up.
That's my entire text. Or, you know, when he's usually the last read going into a commercial break, sometimes he doesn't turn his mic off. And then he's like, hey, Rom, you didn't turn my mic off. Well, I didn't. Usually you turn it off yourself the once in a while that I'd have to, you know. So Eddie was always right on top. Oh, make sure his mic was off. Make sure not to cut him off when he's, because sometimes he'll pause during a read. And so I have to follow, like more than anyone else, I have to follow along on the read with him, see exactly what he's reading. You know, whereas everyone else, I kind of just know the out cue or they'll give me a little point. So with him, I have to follow along a little bit more to make sure he's done reading it so I don't cut him off. Because I remember there were a couple times that I cut him off and he's like, come on, kid, what are we doing? You know, so stuff like that. And the thing, I guess you could ask the question, but what's best about him to counter off of that is he takes nothing out of like the studio or even into the break. Like, if he, like when he was getting on me about missing the day on Monday last week, not coming in, you know, taking a vacation day, after the show, he's like, yeah, it's fun to mess with you. And there's nothing that is off the, you know what I mean? Like all that stuff, like if I hit a sounder while he's in the middle of saying the last couple of words of a read, it's just a quick, hey, let's pick it up. What's going on? And then right afterwards, move on like nothing happened.
Yeah.
So that's what's been the best about him is, he holds no grudge, and I assume if it was something serious, maybe he, like, I don't know. But again, with just little mistakes here and there, he's very, very forgiving.
Yeah, I think that's very true. Yes, and I think actually in all my time here with Boomer and Carton, Boomer and Gio, like everyone here has been so easy to work with. You know, and that's something you don't always find with radio people.
Correct. Yes.
We tend to be,
you've had experience with that.
Ornery types.
Yes.
So that has been really great. And people, I think in particular, are surprised about Carton just because how he is on the radio.
Yep.
and they can't imagine that the guy on the radio generally in the hallway is not ranting and raving at everything.
I've told you this many times, and I've said this to everyone who listened, but to me, and I've worked with him only once on their show, because think about it, when I came here in 23, it was right before he left to go to Fox. And then by the time he came back here, I was already pretty much moving into working with you guys full time. So I had only had one opportunity to work in the actual studio with him on the show where I was in for Gallo. And I still, even seeing him, watching him from behind the glass, I still can't connect that that's the same person that I talk to some, you know, from time to time when he was in it last week, and then, you know, see him in the hallway once in a while. And I see him probably, again, the afternoon guys, we see less than anyone. But it's still two different people in my mind. The person that I listen to on the radio and then Craig, the human being that I've met a bunch of times and I talk to sometimes, like, are just two different people in my head. Like, yeah. Does that make sense to you? Like,
yeah.
That's like, I can't connect that that's the same person because of how wildly different his on-air personality is versus off-air.
Yeah. I had a girlfriend one time who Craig said something about her on the radio many years ago. And she was so upset when I talked to her later in the day. And she's like, he needs to apologize. I go, he is not even, first of all, he's not going to recall what he said. He's not going to know he said something that you found offensive. And if I tell him, he's going to feel really bad. Trust me, he doesn't even know. Like, whatever he said just being on the radio.
Right. He was doing a show.
Right. And he's not going to remember he said it. He's didn't want to offend you. If I bring it up to him, he's going to feel it just doesn't make sense.
Yes, exactly.
Just drop it. All right, so that's Boomer. Let's move to Gio.
Gio, everything since I've started working with him and really gotten to know him has been great. Like, he's been, and he was the first person who I would say somewhat took an interest in me, going back to, you know, when I was part-time and I was filling in and I was doing like digital for the show or other stuff. And he like made a point to, you know, talk to me and like help me along with some, like almost like a mentor, like off the air with stuff, which I think played a huge role in me ultimately ending up here and ending up getting this opportunity with this show.
There's so, Craig right now running around.
He could come in. He could come talk to us first. He's waving us off. But I guess he heard us talk. Like, isn't that crazy?
Yes,
he's never just here in right. the morning. The one time he hears us talking about him, he's standing right there. All right. But yeah, I think he kind of helped me come along and obviously ultimately get this. Like, he was the first person who he came to me, you know, a while ago already. He's like, hey, would you be interested in this? He's like, because I think you actually have a shot. And obviously at the time, I didn't realize him saying that meant, you know, it's his decision essentially. And, you know, I think you have a shot. I was like, what do you mean you think I have a shot? So that was funny. But before then, he also was just so much quieter than I expected and different than Craig, I would say. But in a way that I always felt like I was talking too much to him. You know what I mean? Like, still sometimes, like, if I don't want to be like over like bearing. I don't want to send it. Like, he says he's talked about how he likes that I send him clips or different stories that I see for the show, but I don't want to like be too much. Like, I haven't texted him since he left on his vacation. Like, I feel like he needs a break from me. You know what I mean? Like,
I think he just needs a break from the radio station.
Correct. But like, even on the weekends, like, I really try to just like that's the most, like, that balancing act. And it's more about me than about him. And there's a balancing act where I want to do what's good for the show and give him a few stories that I think would be fun and entertaining while also simultaneously not kind of being annoying, like being an annoyance. So that's like the balancing act that I'm trying to find. But like I said, with everything else, he's been, and the one other thing I would say is I wish he did give me more feedback, but again, he gave a reason on the air for why he does it, because he wants to let me go for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then he'll give me feedback when he feels the time is right. So I think that's been, but yeah, those two things.
All right. What about Mr. Jerry Recco?
So this one's an interesting one because Jerry's awesome. And he's also one of the people who on air publicly like went to bat for me when I filled in like on a holiday. So like, I'll always like appreciate that. And he's awesome. the part that obviously with the less staff that we have, one of the things that I've been trying to help out with is getting gathering sound when I get in the morning. And it's somewhat difficult. Jerry's used to how it's been for a certain way for a while, and then now it's different. And he has a, you know, a pretty demanding job as it is, and then for him to now have to sift through tons of sound and gather a ton of sound for to be ready for the show, and he does a great job with that, where like when he plays, you might not notice this as a listener. When he plays, I don't know, 10 clips an hour, he's got another 150 out there that he could have played. Like, he is prepared as if he has to do a 4 hours of only clip show. Like, he is so prepared and has so much stuff. And I've looked at, I've seen the stuff that he has. And, you know, I try and help with that. But then there are days where either, oh, I was thinking, oh, these would be good clips. And then, you know, we get to the show and those weren't played. And then there's something else that I didn't think would be good. And then he's like, hey, why didn't you get that? So it's just kind of like more understanding what he wants. And then in the morning, it's similar to Gio. I don't want to bother him out there because he's so busy. And then he's on the air at 5. Like, I can't really go over there and you know, it's not a great hour for anyone at 4 o'clock in the morning to start having long, lengthy conversations, especially when you have a lot of work ahead of you. It's kind of difficult to communicate, like, hey, what can we get? Because also sometimes the answer is vast. Sometimes the answer is, I don't know, look on the internet and find something that'll be interesting. There isn't always a, hey, I need these Mets clips and these. Like, during the Knicks run, it was relatively easy. Yes, it was a lot of work for me to come in the morning a little earlier than I would like to before I have to do my responsibilities for the show to then, you know, to cut up a bunch of sound. But that was understood. Okay, this is the Knicks audio. They're in the playoffs. There's lots of Knicks audio every day. But when it's these days where there's no baseball games and there's not much going on, like with CeeLo, it's very simple. I send him throughout the day. I'll just keep sending him clips. And then if I need to ingest them or he ingests them, we'll both put them in the system together and then he listens to them. It's so we kind of have a system that is kind of understood. With Jerry, we're still, I guess, working out the kinks on that. And for football season, we'll have to figure out what exactly we might have to, you know, have a divide and conquer every morning, okay, or every Monday specifically.
Yeah, here's the Mondays.
Here's what we're going to do. Here's the game plan. Here's what you grab. Here's what I grab. Something like that. I think that's what's going to end up having to happen. But just, you know, that's been, I would say, the most difficult part is really just finding, okay, how do I, what's a good clip for the show? Would he be interested in? And then communicating, because sometimes it's like, I was like, oh, we both grabbed the same thing. You know what I mean? And then we wasted both of our time.
Right.
So that's been, I would say, something that's been, you know, a challenge.
I know over the years with different people that would try to grab sound for Jerry, it was they would pick, like, Jerry's looking for something funny, something
different,
more related to the show than a regular clip from a baseball game.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and it's finding that. So
and that's not, again, that's not something you could just define, that you can define.
Yeah.
You just had a hard time defining it yourself. So like, what is that on a given night?
Right.
So it's not, you know, it's not the easiest.
And there's so much stuff on and it's all over the place. So it's like it's on YouTube, it's on Twitter, it's on Instagram, it's on TikTok.
I get in, I'm the first one in from the show because I have responsibilities for TV. I have responsibilities for the radio station that Eddie did that just kind of became part of his duties that he did that like aren't really part of the job description, but I've just continued doing them because no one else is going to do them if I don't do them. So like, because that's what Eddie did. So like, I have to do those duties. And every time that I'm doing those and I know that Jerry's out there struggling to find stuff, I get the sense like I probably should be helping Jerry. And then that starts to eat at me a little bit.
Yeah.
Even though I know I'm not doing it, I'm just doing my job, you know,
right.
But that's become like, again, and that really has nothing to do with Jerry, the person, you know, but that's kind of what's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then how about myself? The difficult.
I think, and this proves it. I mean, this podcast, the podcast that we did where you critiqued me, I want you to just tell me to my face what like like critique me. Like it doesn't, we don't need to turn the microphone and cameras on now. It's more fun this way. And we can talk to Gio about it and yeah. we'll send him this audio this again for tomorrow better. Morning. I just asked you right before the end of the show. I said, what do you think Gio's going to open tomorrow? No baseball. There's a home run derby. He might use this as his open tomorrow.
I'm trying to get some of my family members on this podcast. I got some things I have to talk yeah, to exactly. them about.
So if we're looking for content, this is great. But yeah. I would say that, and that's the job, right? But I would say that that's something like especially we're in there for 4 hours a day. If there's something as stupid as you're clicking your pen too many times or as like, I don't know. Like, I just want direct, hey, don't do that. Do that. Like, I'm good with direct feedback and direct instruction. I don't take it personally. I just want to do better at the job. So that's something that I would say is the thing that I would appreciate more. And also, like, everyone overhyped working with you. I mean, like, meaning...
Yeah, I'm yelling at the callers, but I'm not a like crazy person in there.
Yeah, everyone was like, you know, you're 4 hours in a room with Al Dukes. So I'm like, okay.
What kind of reputation do I have around here?
Yeah. Like, we get along great.
Yeah.
But then again, I wouldn't know if we didn't.
No, I'd somehow bring it up here.
Yes, exactly.
So who of the four of us is most ornery in the morning?
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
You want, like, yeah. I have
real,
to answer.
Real answers.
Can I say myself?
You think you're most ornery?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
I would say in the wee hours, it's Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
As the day goes on, he gets in a much better mood.
I think it's overwhelming when you come in and
you have a mountain ahead of me.
And then the 5 o'clock.
Yeah, warm-up show.
That's like
that deadline.
Yeah, that deadline.
It's got to be.
Especially on days like when there were, you know, like the Knicks playoffs and a Mets and Yankees game and something crazy happened in another playoff game.
Right, hockey.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's just a ton.
Too much.
And then you want to get to fun stuff also.
Yeah.
It's just like, right, with the Knicks playoffs, like the conference finals, I would say, were the hardest. But I was here. Eddie wasn't retired yet, and I was already here working in the newsroom. So those days, I was cutting tape till 8 a.m. You know, I would get in when Eddie gets in at like 3:30, 3:45, and I was cutting tape straight through to 8 a.m. from, you know, the Western Conference Finals, so that we're getting all the Spurs sound, all the OKC sound, the Knicks and Cavs sound, and then there was already Yankees and Mets games, and then a couple of hockey games. So that was, those days were crazy, but I didn't have responsibilities that I had to do for the show. So like, I had a ton of work. So now imagine him having to do all that work solo.
Yeah.
Or I'm dragged to something else. So that's what I do. I'll ask you this, since we want feedback on the show. When I come in here, if you're like doing your work before the show, you like to sit in that seat. You like to eat your yogurt. and sometimes
I'm a yogurt. Yeah.
Yes. Sometimes I'll come in and I'll just make a comment about the show sheet. Other times I'll come in and hand you like a read for the warm-up show. But even that, I feel like I shouldn't. Like, am I bothering?
Well, that's why I mean, that's why I feel like I'm ornery at that time in the morning. And
yes,
I don't know why.
More than you are the rest of the day.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why.
But that's what I said. Everyone is. Like, when Gio's sitting in the newsroom, when he gets in, for the first 10 minutes where he's just debriefing from his car and just wants to just settle down, if I walk out there and start chewing his ear off, I also feel like I'm kind of imposing. The only person who walks in here and starts blasting music right away is Boomer. But guess what? If Boomer comes in and it's 5:20 and I didn't get him his reads yet, like I texted him, hey, you have this read, but I didn't put it on the desk and set up the recording for him yet, he's going to be like, yeah, what's going on? Like, he'd also be ornery. So anyone, I think if you piss them off at that hour,
I think that it's that hour and you haven't,
beginning of the day.
But yeah, and you haven't started the work yet. So you don't know how long it's going to take you to, like, for me to feel like I've went through the news stories that I like, or I don't know, just you start looking at the clock and it's just that clock and it's just like, 4:30 already. And I want to look at the Yankee highlights, the Met highlights, put these things in,
and that's
read
why
these
if
articles.
I come in here, I'll usually wait till I see you send the rundown, and that's when I'll walk in.
The other part, like with in talking to Jerry in the morning, and I find this with anybody, if someone has headphones on, it is so annoying to go bother them wherein they have to take the headphones. Like, this better be good. I'm taking my headphones off.
Right. Like, when Jerry's has the headphones on, he's listening to sound, and it's like, hey, Jerry, I'm on. He's like, what? You know? And then you're like, he takes them off. And it's like, oh, no, I'm just saying that you forget what you wanted to say. Nick sound's in the folder. Yeah, it should be. Right. I'm just letting you know that I put Nick sound in the folder. Where else would you put it? You know,
trying to talk to someone with headphones
on. My headphones with that
is very similar. Like if someone's in their office with the door closed and you're going to knock on it, like there better be a reason for this knocking on the door.
Exactly. But like I said, everything gets better as the day goes on. It's just a weird. I mean, we talked about it with John today. He's like, how do you guys do this? Like every new person who comes in here, it's like, how do you do it? You know? And then we've talked about this so many times. I was with my parents last night and they're like, we can make a dinner reservation at like 7:15, right? I'm like, no.
7:15.
And they're like, oh, you're having sleep anxiety. I'm like, as it is spending time with you guys, I'm getting max 6 hours in bed. Like, yes.
Yeah,
like,
no, it's terrible.
That means I have to sleep for the majority of those 6 hours. It's a Monday, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's the beginning of the week. I'll be backed up the whole week.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
It is weird. Like here, this radio station, I would say everybody, like the on-air people, are all pretty easy going.
I would say these days, yeah, for sure. Everyone,
and it just was not like that. Just in general, Imus was not like that, I'm sure. Russo probably was, but Mike probably wasn't.
Steve is difficult. Like
Steve
like
Summers, I heard, have been difficult.
Yeah.
Like there's certain guys that they work well with. But like everybody else here, like everyone seems like legitimately happy. Boomer and Gio are easy to deal with. Evan and Tiki and Marash seem like they're
awesome. I've worked with them so many times.
All very nice. Craig I worked with for 10 years. C-Mac, I'm sure, is not a difficult person to deal with.
No, C-Mac, he would come in every night and just he would want to like, when I did the overnights with him, he would want to kind of have someone to bounce his open off of. So that was the only thing. Like, what do you think here? And then how about this? And then always what I found was, which was really cool, he would take maybe a small snippet of what we said in that conversation and make that the whole, like, point to like find a whole angle on that, which was cool.
Yeah,
so I thought he was very good at that. But yeah, there was no one that would nobody that was difficult. Like, and I've worked with pretty much everyone since I've been, but again, it's not that many years. But
yeah,
I've worked with like Moose is awesome. I've worked with Richard Neer on the weekend. Like, there's no one that's difficult to work with.
Yeah, where like you're like, oh, this guy's I got to work with this guy.
Get on me
or screaming at me all night.
Yeah. I had that in Baltimore. Like the first person I ever worked with, I remember I walked into the control room while someone's was talking on the microphone in the control room. And I didn't see that the light was on. There's an on-air light outside the door to let people know that
Don't come in here.
Yeah, don't come in here. And I went in anyway. And he doesn't know. He goes, "Who's that? What's his name?" Rami. Does Rami know not to go into there when the mic is on? And like, that was my introduction to him. And he was very difficult. He would do he'd hosted the evenings and then he did the updates during the middays. So he did like double duty. So he did the updates from home during the middays. He would send them in and then he would come in and host the evening show. And during the middle of the night, he would call at 3 a.m. whoever was the overnight board op to make sure they got, because the board op there, we were just playing CBS Sports Radio at the time, or now Infinity Sports Radio. I don't even know what it's called now, but that's what we were playing. And so we didn't have to run a board. Everything was just automatic. So all we had to do was cut sound. That was our job. And he would call every morning at 3 a.m. asking about every single clip. And I saw this quote in the newspaper. You don't have that clip? Well, was there audio of it? I don't know. If it's in the newspaper, there must be audio somewhere. Like at 3 a.m. every morning, he would call and like berate whoever. And this is the person who's just starting cutting tape in the overnight. So yeah, I haven't had that experience here.
So what do we learn here? Who's the most difficult person?
You.
Me. And then everybody else, very friendly.
Everyone's awesome.
All right. I think we got something out of this here this evening or this afternoon or this morning.
Still morning.
Still morning. All right, let's do the warm-up program now. I did that with CeeLo, and I'll be back here again tomorrow with CeeLo. Now, for show notes, Gio is back tomorrow.
Yes.
Boomer is not. So the rest of the week's going to be Gio and Jerry with CeeLo on the updates. I'm in the rest of the week. You're in the rest of the week.
I'll be here.
Hell yeah. Should we do a see ya?
Oh, let's do a see ya.
See ya!
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality Gaze,
let's love.